Five. You're advised that the recordings, that the arguments are being recorded in each of the cases, and in the event the counsel wish to avail themselves of those recordings, they may make application to the clerk's office, and of course they will be available to Chief Justice Phillips, who is absent on business this morning, and who will hear the arguments on the tapes. We will take a break in between each of the cases, but we will go all the way through all three cases before we adjourn for lunch. We're welcome, pleased to have this morning students from New Braunfels Middle School who are here attending our session, and will be here, I think, through the first argument, that's correct. Pleased to have you. You did pick an interesting case to listen to. We'll hear now I neglected to mention that the orders for the court are posted in the clerk's office. They will not be read here from the bench. We'll now hear argument from the petitioner in the first cause, Richardson versus Responsible Dog Owners.
May it please the court, Your Honor, Mr. H. Lewis Nichols from Dallas will present arguments for petitioner.
May please the court, this case involves the validity of an animal control ordinance adopted by the city of Richardson, a home rule city up in Dallas County. At a hearing on temporary injunction, the trial court held that certain sections of the ordinance were invalid. The city then adopted an ordinance deleting those sections, there being a severability clause in the ordinance, and we took those out, but one of the ordinance involved in this case also involves the validity of that ordinance, which repealed a portion of the prior ordinance. Both parties filed motions for summary judgment. In the trial court, summary judgment was sustained in favor of the city holding the ordinance to be valid. In the Court of Appeals, the court held that the ordinance was void because it had been preempted by certain sections of the penal code, holding that the city had no authority to either adopt or enforce an ordinance that had been preempted by the legislature and adoption of Section 108 and Section 4212 of the penal code. If the court granted Rich Berry on the point as to whether or not there had been a preemption by the legislature in adoption of these two acts of the penal code, and whether or not the Rabies Control Act had authorized the city to adopt the ordinance and enforce it. I think first we need to look at Section 108 of the penal code to see exactly what the preemption statute provides. It provides that no governmental subdivision or agency may enact or enforce a law that makes any conduct covered by this code an offense subject to a criminal penalty. So we're dealing with the question of whether or not the conduct proscribed by a section of the penal code is the same conduct that's involved in the Richardson Animal Control Ordinance. Now, conduct has been defined in Section 107 of the penal code as follows. Conduct means an act or omission and its accompanying mental state. So the question is, what act or omission is prescribed by Section 4212 of the penal code, and whether or not the same act or omission is proscribed by the Richardson Animal Control Ordinance. Section 4212 provides that it is an act dealing with the keeping of vicious dogs. And it defines vicious conduct by a dog as follows. Vicious conduct with respect to a dog means an attack made by a dog on a person in which the dog initiated physical contact with the person and failed to retreat, and the attack resulted in bodily injury to the person. So you got the situation here where it's the old first bite law, that the dog's entitled to his first bite before you can do anything about it. Now the offense provided for in that section of code is this. A person commits an offense if the person owns or keeps in his custody or control a dog that he knows has engaged in vicious conduct, and the person does not, one, restrain the dog at all times on a leash or keep him restrained in a pen, and two, have insurance in the amount of at least $100,000. So first, your dog's got to bite somebody. The owner's got to know about it. Then when that happens, well, he's got to keep the dog on leash and pen and carry insurance. But there's one other kicker in the law. A person has 60 days from the date on which the person knows his dog has engaged in vicious conduct as defined in Section A, which I just read, of this section to comply with the provisions of Section B, which is the section that requires you to restrain your dog and carry insurance. So if a dog bites somebody under this law, the owner has got 60 days to decide to keep him on a leash and keep him in a pen and take out insurance. So no offense is committed by the owner of the dog until 60 days after he knows the dog has bit somebody. Now, the Court of Appeals has held that a city, a home rule city in particular, cannot adopt an ordinance that places any sort of restraint on that owner or that dog, because it says that by adopting that statute, it has preempted the right of a city to adopt a leash law, to adopt a vaccination law, to adopt a law that requires dogs to be impounded in case there are rabies threats. A dog who has bitten someone who may have rabies, you can't quarantine them.
It's true that not every violation of the ordinance would be a violation of the statute.
There are no violations in the ordinance as written that would constitute a violation of the statute.
There's no overlap at all.
Not in my opinion.
So if there's no situation in which you could be charged with a violation of the statute and also be prosecuted under the ordinance.
No.
Is the statute or ordinance aimed at any particular type of dogs?
Well, there is a section there. There are two sections in the ordinance which relate to a particular type of dogs. One relates to guard dogs. There's a section on guard dogs, and the city and exercise of its legislative discretion include that guard dogs are a type of dog that, because of their training, separate regulations be appropriate. Also, pit bulldogs. There's a section on pit bulldogs. And they have concluded that pit bulldogs create a special type of problem, and that pit bulldogs are subject to additional regulations over and above those that apply to all other animals.
If there were an overlap, if there were an area in which you could be prosecuted both under the statute and under the ordinance, I take it it's your position that wouldn't make the entire ordinance violative of the statute.
That's correct. There's a severability provision in the ordinance that provides any word, phrase, clause, any portion of it is invalid, that it would not invalidate the remaining portion of the ordinance. And that's what we did in the trial court. When the trial court held that there were three phrases, the three sections, that were invalid because they were unconstitutional in the court's opinion, we then amended the ordinance and took those out. But the Court of Appeals held that the entire ordinance was void in its entirety. That would mean that a dog bites somebody and the city is unable to pick it up, the city is unable to prosecute the owner, because you don't know until 60 days later whether or not there's even a violation of the state law. So the owner would have that dog, that same dog, could run at large because they invalidate our leash law, could bite someone every day for 59 days, and there's no violation of the state law because the violation doesn't occur until 60 days after he knows the dog's bitten someone and he hadn't kept it impounded. It means that the city cannot do what is normally done by cities, and that is require you to keep your dog on a leash, require it to be vaccinated, require it to be registered, require it to be impounded in case of threats of rabies or other disease. And I don't believe that's what the legislature intended. I don't believe that the legislature intended by adopting this vicious bite dog act and giving the first bite meant that the city lost all of its powers to protect its citizens, as is customarily done and as is specifically authorized by the Rabies Control Act. At the present time, we have no leash law because the court has held us void. We have no vaccination or registration law in Richardson. We have no right to impound a dog that bites someone. We have no right to impound a dog that is suspected of having rabies because the court has knocked out our entire animal control law, saying that it violated and the provisions of Section 108 of the Penal Code. Can you imagine what would happen if someone dials 911 and they get the police and say, we've got a dog that's molesting our children out here. And so the operator says, well, has the dog bitten anybody? No. Well, we're sorry. We can't do anything about it because state law controls this and you got to bite somebody. Well, suppose it bites my child. Well, then you got to wait 60 days to find out whether it violates state law. That is the effect of the court's decision in invalidating our ordinance, which gives us the right to pick up dogs that are large, to pick up dogs that have bitten somebody or suspected of having rabies, and puts us in the position of being completely unable to protect the health and safety of our citizens. Somebody calls 911 and says, a dog has just bit my baby. Well, that's vicious conduct under the definition contained in the section of the Penal Code. And so you say, well, we don't have an ordinance to do anything about that. We can't do anything about that because that's vicious conduct and that's handled under state law. But we can't do anything anyhow because we don't know why there's an offense that takes place until 60 days after it bites your dog. I mean, the dog has bitten you. So there's not a thing we can do about it because there is no law violated merely because the dog bit your child. And there's nothing we can do about picking up the dog because the court has repealed our ordinance and said it's void. That's the position we're in. Now let's see what our ordinance provides and see whether or not it has been preempted by its language, and is the conduct in our ordinance the same conduct. Now, we're not talking about subject matter of an ordinance or a state law. We're talking about conduct that's proscribed by the state law. The state law says if you own a dog that has engaged in vicious conduct, which means it's bitten somebody, and you go 60 days without impounding the dog or putting him on a leash and without taking out insurance, then you have committed an offense. Now, our ordinance is a comprehensive animal control ordinance. It just doesn't say that dogs do this or that. It says animals. It deals with animals and with restraints placed on persons who keep animals in the city of Richardson. It has certain definitions, and it defines not vicious conduct, but it defines vicious and dangerous animals. Not just dogs, but any animal. Vicious and dangerous animal shall mean an animal which, because of its physical nature and vicious propensity, is capable of inflicting serious personal harm, physical harm, or death to human beings. An animal that behaves in such a manner as the owner should know that it's reasonably liable to attack somebody. You don't have to wait. Under our ordinance, you don't have to wait till a dog bites somebody. If it's a threat to the safety of the citizens, the city can then have a hearing to determine whether or not it is a dangerous and vicious animal. And then if it is, they can order the dog either removed from the city or destroyed. That's entirely different than the state law.
under your ordinance, then if you call 911 and said you have a vicious dog out here, then even under your ordinance, you can't do anything until after you have a hearing?
Under the ordinance, the dog can be picked up by the animal control officer and be held until the hearing is held, or can be put in a secure place until a hearing is held to determine whether or not it is a dangerous and vicious animal. If the owner will keep the dog secured until that hearing is held, the ordinance provides the owner may secure the dog on his premises until the hearing is held. So we have under that a remedy by which we don't have to wait until a dog has attacked and harmed someone before we can take action under our ordinance to protect. And the offense is that if you don't turn the dog over to the health officer, or if you don't secure it, then you'll be in violation, not because the dog has bitten someone, but because you did not secure the dog until the hearing could be held. If the dog is found not to be a vicious and dangerous animal, and not just dogs, any animal, then it'll be turned back to the owner. The offenses that are provided for in our ordinance are these, none of which, in my opinion, are covered by the state statute. One, it is unlawful for an owner to fail to prevent any animal from running at large within the carpet limits of the city. That's just your leash law. That's specifically authorized by the Rabies Control Act, but the court held that to be invalid because it was preempted by Section 4212 of the Penal Code. Next, a person perform or carry out any inhumane action against an animal. Well, that's not even covered. That's not even mentioned, and they held that was void. Interferes with or molests any dog used by the police department, city of Richland, in the performance of duty of such department. They held that was invalid. Keep, possesses, or own, maintain, control, or use, or otherwise exercise dominion over any animal or animals which by reason of noise, odor, or sanitary condition becomes offensive in the days of health. They held that was void because it was preempted by that first bite law. Next, keep or harbor any dangerous or vicious animal or animals within the carpet limits of the city. Now, that's the closest thing, Judge, to what might be, but that doesn't have to do with the offense that is created by the state law. That is whether or not you have a dangerous animal, not just dogs, but any animal, that is found to be a dangerous animal under the definition of dangerous animal contained in the code, which is entirely different than vicious conduct that's contained in the statute.
If you had a statute which did clearly overlap with an ordinance, and the ordinance provided that in a separate section that notwithstanding anything else in the ordinance, any conduct that would be prohibited by statute would not be violative of the ordinance, you think that would save the ordinance?
Well, I think the severability clause we have in the ordinance saves it because it carves out those provisions which do conflict with the state statute. I don't think there is conflict, but if there is any, I think it should be carved out. And our statute relates to animals, not just dogs, it relates to any animal. So, to me, I think the way it should be handled, if someone is charged with keeping a dog under circumstances that constitute vicious conduct as defined in the code, that would be a defense to a prosecution in the municipal court on the ground that had been preempted. I think that is the mechanism by which a person would be defended against an overlapping law. But it still does not invalidate the entire ordinance. It would only invalidate as to dogs. It wouldn't invalidate that same section that applied to any other vicious and dangerous animal. Keep or maintain a dog kennel in a residential area. So none of those offenses as defined in the ordinance are the same, or do they overlap with the ordinance defined in the statute. They go side by side. Then we have two other sections in the code. One deals with additional regulations for keeping guard dogs, and the other keeps with pit bull dogs. Those were not ruled on by the, were not discussed by the court or the validity of those sections, the court knocked out the entire ordinance on the grounds that it had been preempted, and we did not even get to that point as far as court was concerned in this case. I would submit to you that here we have a situation where the court has held an ordinance to be void and preempted by the legislature. This court, this Supreme Court said in the case of City of Sweetwater versus Guerin, that also the broad powers granted to home rule cities by the Constitution, Article 11, Section 5, may be limited by acts of the legislature. And I don't argue that. It seems that should the legislature decide to exercise that authority, its intention to do so should appear with unmistakable clarity. Is it clear to you that it was the intention of the legislature in adopting Section 4212 of the Penal Code that deals with vicious conduct of dogs intended to preempt the right to adopt the type of ordinance we've adopted, which is a comprehensive animal control ordinance that protects the people? And many sections of that ordinance are specifically authorized by the Rabies Control Act, which specifically authorizes cities to provide leash laws, to provide vaccination, to provide registration, to provide for impoundment, to provide for a situation where you can destroy dogs that have been found to be rabid or have some disease. All of which was knocked out by the court in this case, and I submit to you that it was not the intention of the legislature, by adopting Section 4212 of the Penal Code, to preempt the right of a home rule city to protect its citizens by the adoption of a comprehensive animal control act. Thank you very much.
Thank you, counsel. Is there nothing to respond to?
May I please report, Your Honors, Mr. Wayne B. Brown from Dallas will open for respondent.
May it please the court, my name is Wayne Brown. I represent Responsible Dog Owners of Texas along with Charles Ewell, my co-counsel. We each plan to speak for about 10 minutes. This is an appeal from a summary judgment granted the City of Richardson in the trial court.
In a declaratory judgment case? This was filed as a declaratory judgment case.
It was an injunction. We filed for an injunction to enjoin enforcement of the law.
What standing do the plaintiffs have in this case to bring the case? Have they been prosecuted, or is there any threat of prosecution against them?
Yes, sir. There have been instances where people have been arrested for violating this law.
Any of these plaintiffs?
That I'm not sure of, Judge.
Is that record in this case or not?
About these plaintiffs, I don't think so. I'm sorry.
It sort of appears from the record that several citizens and this group just sort of got together and said, "Let's go ask a district judge whether this is constitutional." Is that pretty much?
Yes, sir. Because we're alleging that the law is unconstitutional and also that it's been preempted by state law.
Were not most of the individuals who brought the suit owners of pit bull dogs?
Some were, yes, sir.
One part of the ordinance is labeled animal ordinance, vicious animals and pit bull dogs. Is it the position of the animal owners that pit bull dogs are not vicious animals per se?
Their position in this lawsuit is that the City of Richardson alleges they're vicious. That's the important thing. Therefore, that's what makes it a vicious dog, all these restrictions on pit bulls. They're alleging they're vicious dogs, and they've made several admissions. They sent letters to pit bull owners in Richardson, including some of our clients, stating that the law was passed as a result of pit bull attacks. Now, that's on page 42 of the transcript. There was testimony at this temporary injunction hearing that from Richardson that pit bulls are vicious and that's why the ordinance was passed. That's on 236, 238, and 320 of the transcript. In their answer, they state pit bulls are vicious, so the ordinance was passed to protect the citizens. That's on page 36.
Is there any dispute about that pit bull dogs are inherently?
Yes, sir. When this lawsuit first started, Richardson was saying, well, we have a right to regulate vicious dogs, but after the Court of Appeals ruling, they've changed their story. It's not a vicious dog law now, it's just an animal law. Now, these...
But did I understand you to say that your contention is that pit bulldogs are not vicious?
Well, Judge, our lawsuit, it's a two-pronged lawsuit. The first half is that the law has been preempted by state law. In the alternative, we're alleging that the law is unconstitutional because the Court of Appeals did not reach those 8 points. They ruled that the first point was controlling, did not reach the other 8 points. But we think that the important thing here is what Richardson thinks. If they think these are vicious dogs, the whole thing is just a vendetta against pit bulldogs. That's what this whole thing is about. And
does that mean, though, sir, that if we disagree with you and with the Court of Appeals on the matters that they decided this on, that we need to get back to them to look at the other 8 points?
I would suppose that if you rule that the law has not been preempted and no part of it has been preempted, since the other 8 points have not been considered, I would assume that. But they have talked about baby chickens and rabies vaccination and all that. Well, the problem here is they put those things in the vicious dog law, and I don't think just because they put it in the vicious dog law, you say, well, you can't touch this. Now, they can pass a separate rabies law, they can pass their baby chick law, selling baby chickens or whatever, in a separate law.
You mean to tell me that if there's a comprehensive statute is passed and one little section of it's unconstitutional, that the whole thing falls, even if it has a severability provision?
Well, I think when they pass a law and bracket the law in the preamble and also in the last section, section 7, they say this is a vicious animal law. And all these admissions they've talked about pit bulls, I mean, it's a vicious pit bull law is what it is.
Do you have any, is the focus of of the plaintiff's complaint in this case on the pit bull provisions?
We are mainly concerned with those provisions quoted in the Court of Appeals opinion. There are two sections. There's the general pit bull section in the Richardson Ordinance, which applies to all dogs, and the dog has to do something to be considered vicious. Then there's a pit bull section, which is half of it, in which pit bulls are vicious per se. Just by being pit bulls, they don't have to do anything, they're considered vicious. Those are what we are primarily concerned about.
Well, primarily, do you have any quarrel at all with the leash law aspect of it? Or
no, sir. As far as the rabies law, I would like to say this. Richardson has waived all of their points of error to this court. The Rabies Control Act of 1981 was cited for the first time in a motion for rehearing. The motion for rehearing points of error were limited to dogs. In this court, it's been changed to animals. They've changed the whole thing in the middle of the stream. We've cited two Supreme Court cases and an appellate court case refused by the Supreme Court. Substantiating our position. That's on pages 6 and 7 of our answer. We have a case, Knott versus State, out of Dallas, no writ, in which they had an ordinance against blinking your lights to warn of radar. There's a state law against warning another of impending discovery in order to avoid arrest. The Court of Appeals of Dallas held that the ordinance was preempted and void because of the state law by authority of section 108 in the penal code. Now, Richardson has been unable to cite any case in which 108 was in existence, the state law was in a penal code, and an ordinance on the same subject or conduct was not preempted. Not one single case. All the motions, all the briefs in this lawsuit, they haven't been able to come up with one single case. Now, they have cited City of Sweetwater versus Garon. Now, that was before 108. It really doesn't apply, but it says powers granted to the cities by Article 11, Section 5 of the Constitution can be limited by the legislature if done so with unmistakable clarity. Well, we submit that 108 and 4212 do just that. In fact, this could be the reason 108 was passed, to prevent this overlapping and these conflicts. There's another problem here. If a person has a vicious dog in Richardson, he can run down to City Hall, pay a little fine. The state cannot prosecute him. The state law is a Class B misdemeanor, jail time and a fine. And we think that the will of the people of the state of Texas to the legislature is more important than one little city who thinks that the state law is not good enough for them. 108 preemption.
Doesn't the city have a legitimate interest, though, in protecting its children from animals which have demonstrated their propensity for being vicious?
Not if there's a law on that subject in the penal code. That's the whole idea behind 108. If there was not a state vicious dog.
The leash law, though, does it?
Sir?
The penal code doesn't provide any provision for leashing, does it?
No, sir. And
so you think because the legislature passes a law that doesn't have a leash provision, that the city then can no longer control their animals?
No, sir. We do not think that. The leash law is not a vicious dog law. Selling baby chickens is not a vicious dog law. Rabies vaccination is not a vicious dog law. But the state has defined and set the punishment for vicious dog conduct. And therefore, because of Section 108, it has been preempted. Our quarrel is with the vicious dog sections. We have no quarrel with the rabies law or the rabies vaccine, other than the fact that they waived that because they did not timely present it. So I would just say that 108 is clear. Cities cannot pass an ordinance on anything covered in the penal code. 2626A in Richardson is a vicious dog law. 4212 is a state vicious dog law. Therefore, the Richardson ordinance has been preempted. And they have not cited one case in which 108 was in existence, the state law was in the penal code, and an ordinance on the same subject was not preempted. Not one single case. What we're asking this court to do is deny their application. They've waived all their points because they did not timely present them, and we have Supreme Court cases on that. In the alternative, we're asking that you affirm the Court of Appeals' decision. But our main quarrel is with the vicious dog provisions. And if this court held that those provisions had been preempted, that's fine. Leave their rabies law, leave their leash law, that's fine. It's their fault. They put it in a vicious dog law, called it a vicious dog law. This whole thing is a vendetta against pit bulldogs. That's what it's all about. Now, at this time, I'd like
to just put animal code as part of the title rather than vicious dog law, that would make a difference. That the title would make a difference.
That does not make the sole difference, but it shows their intent. And along with these other admissions, letters sent, and the letters are attached to first supplement to plaintiff's original petition, and that's on page 42 of the transcript. They've made that admission in letters to our clients. They've made a judicial admission. And they call it, it's no doubt that they intended this to be a vicious dog law. Like I said, we have no quarrel with the rabies law other than the fact that they waived it in this lawsuit, but we're mainly concerned with those provisions quoted in the Court of Appeals decision. And I'd like to turn it over to Mr. Ewell if there are no further questions. Thank you.
May it please the Court, Your Honor, Mr. Charles W. Ewell, Jr. from Dallas, will reply his first time.
May it please the Court, Your Honors.
Mr. Hewlett, let me ask you about standing.
Yes, sir.
All I read in the petition is that you're interested in this ordinance and you're afraid that someday it may be enforced against you. Is that the essence of the standing allegation?
Your Honor, a couple of the plaintiffs in this suit, a couple of the individual plaintiffs, specifically Ms. Marvinell Hafner.
Ms. whom?
Marvinell Rowe Hafner, have been prosecuted under this ordinance.
They have been prosecuted.
They have been prosecuted.
And is that
Ms. Hafner's case is now on appeal before the Court of Appeals in Dallas County.
Is that in the record in this case?
Your Honor, the prosecution occurred after the filing of the petition. There was no other evidence taken other than at the temporary injunction hearing.
Is it your view of standing that interested citizens can just file a declaratory judgment action to challenge the constitutionality of an ordinance?
Your Honor, the individual citizens have a right to try and obey the law. The individual citizens under this ordinance had restrictions imposed on them, which we contended in our original suit were unreasonable and unnecessary by the prejudgment of their pets. And due to these conditions being imposed upon them, they were in effect under restriction, which they sought relief.
What conditions do you feel were unreasonable and unnecessary regarding pit bull dogs?
Your Honor, in the first place, the pit bull and their evidence, the evidence that was taken at the preliminary hearing has this in the record. The dogs classified as pit bulls include Spud McKenzie, the Petey and the Argang comedies. And one section says, any dog that looks like it might be part any of the above breeds.
Looks like it might be what?
Part.
Let's see. I'm quoting from Mr. Nichols' application here where he attaches an exhibit, section 316E. Any dog which has the appearance and characteristics of being predominantly of the breeds of Bull Terrier, Staffordshire Bull Terrier, American Pit Bull Terrier, American Staffordshire Terrier, and any other breed commonly known as pit bulls. Now, that last part they did strike from the second ordinance, where it begins any other breed commonly known. But the part that was left in says any dog which has the appearance and characteristics of being predominantly of these several breeds. And this section or Article 2 of this ordinance places the restriction of being a vicious dog on any dog of this race or group of breeds of dogs. It's like saying any person of a certain race is prone to be vicious and therefore they're restricted more than other persons. They as to the leash law and the rabies law, as my clients, as dog owners, are concerned that there be such laws in place and that the laws be enforced. The two instances that brought about this ordinance both occurred due to violations of the leash law. Now, before they wrote this ordinance, where they put their whole animal code within the parentheses of the preamble saying, whereas the present code of the city of Richland does not adequately protect the public health, safety, and welfare against vicious and dangerous animals. And it closes with it's an emergency because of vicious and dangerous animals. They put everything within this parentheses of vicious and dangerous animals. We have no quarrel with them drafting a good lease law. A good lease law would entitle them, if someone calls 911 and says there's a dog running loose, to go pick up the dog.
Except the pit bull.
Well, a good lease law, any dog law, we feel should apply to all breeds. In the discussion of passing the state law.
What specific provisions do you say were directed at pit bull dogs?
Article 2 in its entirety of this ordinance. Article 2, Your Honor, begins with restrictions on pit bull dogs within the city. And it says, be unlawful for any person to own, keep, or harbor in any way possess a pit bull dog within the city unless such pit bull dog is properly registered with the city, which is an additional fee over another dog owner requirement. The registration fees paid and said pit bull maintained in accordance with the requirements of this section, which say that. They don't say the dog has got to be kept in his yard or in the owner's yard. They say that he's got to be kept within a cage within the yard. And if brought out of the cage, even if in his own backyard under the supervision of his owner, he must be muzzled and held on a leash no longer than 6 feet. And our position, our other people behind us who are helping with the finances on this lawsuit are not interested in pit bulls, particularly as a breed. The interest is in stopping breed-specific legislation or declaring that any dog is per se vicious. Like, this could be applied. So they come along and say chows are vicious, so we put this restriction on chows. They could come along, cocker spaniels bite people. Put it on cocker spaniels. I see my red light is on, Your Honor. If any questions, I'll be glad to answer them and then sit down.
Thank you, counsel. Thank you. Your rebuttal argument.
Your Honor, the Richland ordinance is not a vicious dog ordinance. It doesn't say it's a vicious dog ordinance. It is an animal control ordinance. It relates to control and of all animals. We also need to keep in mind that this case was disposed of on summary judgment motion filed by both parties. The only summary judgment proof before the court are copies of the ordinance. An affidavit filed by Mr. Ewell stating it had been preempted by the legislature. He makes reference to a transcript of a hearing on summary judgment. That's not in the record. He offered it in evidence. The court rejected it as evidence because he was offering evidence at a hearing on the motion for summary judgment. So the only summary judgment proof you have in this case are copies of the two Richardson ordinances.
So there's no record in this case regarding the standing of these petitioners to challenge this law?
No, sir, Your Honor. Matter of fact, I think, if I recall correctly, I've had a number of these cases that the court overruled our pleaded jurisdiction of the court to hear it on the ground that that if the ordinance was void and they could show some potential damage, the court would have jurisdiction. But then we went into a summary judgment motion. Now, the only question I think for the court at this time is whether or not this ordinance is void on its face. You have an ordinance that was duly adopted by the city. The summary judgment proof is a copy of the ordinance. There is no testimony. There is no record that he refers to. So the question is whether or not this ordinance has been preempted. This ordinance, by looking at the face of the ordinance, has been preempted by the legislature.
Do I understand you, counsel, you are either not urging now or abandoning any argument that they do not have standing to challenge this?
I didn't raise that. I'm not. I'm not raising it. If I raised it, I didn't, in the trial court, I didn't raise it up here. This was not for the court here.
All right.
Although, this court has said in other cases that it can take notice itself for lack of jurisdiction in the court to hear the case. I'd like to get it ruled on.
You're not urging it, but in case we like it.
Well, I understand your powers, and I don't try to limit your powers. What I'm saying here is that I think that we've got a good ordinance. We've got an animal control ordinance. It's not a vicious ordinance. All you've got to do is read the caption. It says that this is an ordinance of the city of Richland regulating animals, providing for the protection, providing definitions, prescribing duties of owners of persons in control and protection of animals, providing for the impoundment, redemption, and disposition of animals, providing for the retention, observation, and disposal of deceased animal or animals who are bitten persons, license and vaccination of animals. It doesn't say that. Now, the only thing that they're hanging on is that we amended this ordinance at one time, and in the clause that provide for an amendment and doesn't say what amendment or which amendment, it just says this: if whereas the present code of the city of Richland does not adequately protect the public health, safety, or welfare against vicious and dangerous animals, not dogs, vicious and dangerous animals, and requires that amendments be made to the code in order to provide adequate protection to public health, safety, and welfare. And in the emergency clause to permit the ordinance to be adopted on one reading because there existed an emergency, they said the present ordinance don't adequately protect the public health, safety, and welfare, and requires this ordinance to go into effect immediately. That's the only extent to which this ordinance makes reference to being a vicious and dangerous animals. So to say this is just a vicious and a vicious dog ordinance is not a correct statement at all. All you got to do is look the face up, and that's all the evidence you got before you face the ordinance. The mere fact that the legislature has legislated in a subject does not preclude the city from doing so. They take this, since we have legislated on dogs, and the legislature has legislated on dogs, we can't do it. It's the conduct. The law says the conduct which is proscribed by state law can't be proscribed by city ordinance. The conduct is, under state law, for a person who has a dog who's bitten somebody, that he has to, after 60 days, he has to restrain it and take out insurance. Nowhere in our ordinance is that offense defined or the penalty the same. And since there is nothing before the court except the question of preemption, and the record before the court of the summary judgment testimony are copies of the ordinance, I think the thing that the court has the responsibility of doing is to look at the ordinance and say, has that, and look at the state law, and has the state law, has the legislature preempted the right of the city to adopt an animal control ordinance?
If we do that and we agree with you on it, does it need to go back to the Court of Appeals?
I don't think so in light of the record in this case. I would say normally it might, Your Honor, but in the light of the summary judgment proof in this case, which is only copies of the ordinance, I think it is not necessary to go back to the Court of Appeals because you can look at the ordinance and the summary judgment motions and see that the only question, one, was raised by preemption by counsel for the plaintiff, and my position was that the ordinance was valid on its face, and that that was the question of law for the court, question of law for this court. Now, with regard to pit bull dogs, let's talk about pit bull dogs. We have a section there that deals with pit bull dogs. The city concluded that pit bull dogs require special legislation. In the exercise of their legislative judgment, they decided that. Now, the court's got a right to say that
They can't possibly, under no circumstance, can the city, by ordinance, make a distinction between pit bull dogs and other dogs. Well, they've said there's a difference. They don't have to legislate against rattlesnakes and wildcats and wolves just because they pick out, if it's a reasonable classification, they pick out one class of animals and legislate with regard to one class of animals. That's what they've done with two classes, guard dogs and pit bulldogs. And unless you can say that on the face of the ordinance, that's an arbitrary classification, and there's no possible basis for such classification, that the city council could not, in the exercise of its judgment, have reasonably made that classification, then under the record in this case, I think you're obligated to hold the ordinance back. A home rule city doesn't look to the legislature for powers. It has all the powers of local government except where prohibited by either the Constitution or state statute. And the only state statute that's been raised here is Section 108 and Section 4212 of the Penal Code. And I submit to you that those statutes do not prohibit the city from adopting an animal control ordinance, do not prevent the city from adopting special regulations that relate to pit bull dogs or for guard dogs, and that under the record in this case, this court should hold that the ordinance is valid, not preempted by state law, and the city of Richland has a right as a home rule city in the exercise of its constitutional powers to adopt this ordinance and to enforce it. Thank you.
Thank you, Council. We will now take a brief recess.
Will the audience please rise?